I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Today, we're learning what it takes to grow into God's kingdom as God's kid. Because every single member of God's family is meant to mature until fully grown to have what it takes to make our way home. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're doing here. And since none of us are grown-ups, all of us need checkups right here, right now. Because like all loving parents, our Father wants to assure that there is nothing hindering the healthy development of His most precious possessions, which is us. So the question for us kids this morning is, are you still growing? I hope so. You better be. But how do you know? That's a more tricky question. We're going to get to that in a second. But before we get to that, I got to tell you, I was so excited to hear Aaron speak last week.
Yeah.
And I was so happy to hear how much everybody loved him. But I gotta say, I was a little surprised it went so well on week number one. Because in my experience, new pastors are more of an acquired taste, apparently. In fact, just the other week, a couple of longtime His Placers came up to me and asked me if they could share some encouragement without me taking offense. So I pretended that was possible, and I said, sure, sure. And they told me that years ago when I first started preaching, they weren't real excited about my Sundays, and that they maybe even skipped a few of them. I love you too. Oh. That's enough of the boobers. And right there, before I burst into tears and ran away to join the circus, they quickly added, they said, but we just love you now and we're so excited to hear you speak. And I went, aw, that almost makes it feel okay. But how do you think I felt in that moment? Offended? Yeah, I mean, that's natural, right? Okay, but wait, but let me back up here, because what if I told you that I've had this exact conversation with at least 7 or 8 other members over the last few years? Do you think I just keep getting more and more offended? I do, and I've written your names on a list, and I'm coming on. Of course, no, not at all. Not at all. In fact, it's the opposite. Because every single time our ego gets beat down, the truth gets turned up. And that is so important. And the less I worry about me, the better I can actually hear them. And that's awesome. So what I heard was that they were really actually offering me this incredible encouragement. Because they were saying that I've grown. That's what has happened. And when I hear what that actually means, I'm not offended. I am so thankful. That is an inspiring, uplifting, and thanks to the very blunt delivery, trustworthy perspective that just couldn't be more valuable to me. So I really do appreciate it. They gave me my checkup, and they made me confident that this kid right here was alive and well. I was still growing like I was supposed to be. And that is huge news down here. That is something that we all need to hear. That's why we need these checkups. Because we've talked about this a little bit in the last few weeks. Down here, if we're not growing up, we are going down. It's one of the two. You got to struggle against this place. In this broken world, it's when things stay the same that we should get worried. Because then we're just getting swept up the way of the world, and we know where that goes. Death. Yeah. And that makes every single honest and uncomfortable checkup of the utmost importance in our lives, because a painful truth, however painful it is worth way more than a comfortable lie. Amen?
Amen.
A painful truth is worth way more than a comfortable lie. Get that in your head. Remember that, even when that comfort starts coming for you.
Make us say it.
Make you say it? All right. Repeat after Bruce. Say this one with me. A painful truth is worth more than a comfortable lie. Put it on a t-shirt, on your bumper sticker. Just remember that. That's what we're doing here. This is me also just giving you the preface. So get ready to be uncomfortable. But that's what we're doing. Just imagine if your doctor only gave you the news that you wanted to hear instead of the diagnosis that you needed to live. Right? You see the problem? We can't just have the stuff that we want. We need the stuff we need. And so it's in the same principle, the same reason why we hear wounds from a friend can be trusted, right? But an enemy multiplies kisses. Right? This is the idea, is like sometimes you need that difficult input. And it's those honest assessments about our growth that actually bring our growth. And because of others speaking the love in, or speaking the truth in love, however hard it is to actually hear, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Because all life-giving growth happens when we are challenged, not soothed. We know that. That's when you get put to sleep, when you're soothed. You've got to be challenged. And I mean, we all know this is such an obvious principle. Let me ask you this. Do muscles get bigger in the gym or on the couch? I wish it weren't true. I'm really good at that. Not so good in the gym. But we know where you got to go to get that stuff. It's work, right? You got to go to the gym. You got to put in that work and you got to struggle. And spiritual growth works the exact same way. And it comes down to this: coddling with comfort kills. It just does. It puts you to sleep. It just lets you go. While constructive criticism builds, right? Put something under pressure. And yet, you look around, you know it, I know it, the American people know it, we are here. We like to surround ourselves with a culture of unchallenging agreement because in the moment it feels good. We don't care if we're growing or not. And this is something that humans have been just fighting from the very beginning. We have it in the Old Testament. These people in the Old Testament who preferred the comfortable lies to the painful truths, saying, "Do not prophesy to us right things." Ugh. That sounds difficult. "Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits." Do you feel like you've kind of heard that sentiment around? It's kind of what we like. I don't need what's true. Just give me the easy truth, smooth stuff. And then there's those in the New Testament that were warned will want the same thing. And this is us now. We're in the future here. But we know that people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. So, is that you? No, that's not us. Not us here. We are trying to be against that. So this message is for you. You, however, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work. And remember what we're growing into? We're growing into Jesus, who is the head. So keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work. Boo. That's where the boo is. Hardship and work, I don't like it. The big reason we prefer confirmation over criticism comes from our dislike of discomfort. Nobody likes being uncomfortable. We're wired to want what's easy. And when we're wrong, it takes effort to make things right. Just boo on top of boo. This is no good. No wonder when someone suggests that we've made a mistake, we would rather call them into question than actually question ourselves. And yet, the irony is that we all know deep down it takes mistakes to make things better. We've all experienced, we've all grown up in this life and we know we need them. It reminds me of the young executive. There's a story of a young executive who was hired by a Fortune 500 company to replace a retiring CEO. So on the first day, very wise guy, he pulled his predecessor aside and he said, "Okay, let me ask you something. What's the secret of all your success that you've had?" And the old guy says, "Well, I can boil it all down to two words: right decisions." He goes, "Okay, well, sure, but how do you make right decisions?" And he says, "What? One word: experience." He says, "Okay, yeah, great, but how do you get experience?" And the CEO just smiles and he says, "Two words: wrong decisions." That's how you get there, right? And we all know this. And if you don't know it, you should know it. Just like our man, the richest man in the world, Elon Musk. Talk about success. He's made more money than everyone put together, pretty much. Elon Musk, and he'll tell you the same thing, because making mistakes was the key component of all his success. In fact, I watched the documentary, so I know it's true. In fact, the way he overtook America's space program, right? This is the best America can do, is that he just ignored NASA's overly cautious approach to engineering, and instead, he just kept blowing up rockets as fast as he could make them. Because he knew we learn from our mistakes. And so with each explosive billion-dollar mistake, the lessons kept piling up, and he kept learning until SpaceX outpaced everyone else. And when we asked him about his success, he cited this process, and he said, hey, if things aren't failing, you're not innovating. Get that into your head. That's true. That's where growth comes from. If you're not failing, you're not innovating. That's how it happens. But again, listen to all this litany of just bad words. Criticism, work, mistakes, and failure. These are all so unpopular with us because they are all uncomfortable. And even though we may know on some level that they're our best tools that we have that we can use to make things right, it's just so hard to look past the potential pain of making that change. So as much as that sounds good, hey, yeah, we got to make a mistake to get it right, we don't want to make the mistake because it hurts. It's uncomfortable. And that's reasonable because, I mean, think about it. We have been conditioned to avoid pain every second that we've stayed alive. We know that. It hurts when I do this. Don't do that. It's a bad thing. And that's because pain usually means something is going wrong with us. So, yeah, it's common sense to think celebrating pain is insane. But, I got a lot of buts in this one, but there's one pain that actually means something's going right with us. And this is the key right here. This pain that means there's something going right with us, and it's called growing pains. We know them. We're familiar with the concept, growing pains. It's when it just hurts to get better, to get bigger, to get stronger. They're the rare pains that reveal we're actually getting better and not worse. And in physical growth, which we've all experienced, like we know they just happen with or without our consent. As a matter of fact, we usually try to say, I don't want them anymore, and they just keep on happening. But however, spiritual growth is a whole different ball of wax because spiritual growth is up to us. Because at a certain point, we have to decide, we have to make the active decision whether we're willing to risk more pain to gain that growth. We have to make the choice. It doesn't just happen automatically. And in case you missed it, humans really dislike discomfort. Even in our better moments when we think about doing it, you know, well, I'm going to the gym. No, I'm not. That's us, is we just will do everything we can to get ourselves off the hook from feeling that discomfort. So the question becomes this: how do we do it? How do we develop the discipline to choose the growth that we know we want, in spite of all this pain that we know we don't want? Well, we've got to do something. We've got to convince ourselves. We've got to build a convincing case that tips the scales, right, and makes spiritual growth worth the pain. And that means we're going to need a very compelling picture of the purpose and the process and the product that spiritual growing pains give us to inspire us to endure them, right? We need to have that eyes on the prize. That's how we do it. And guess where we find that in this church? You guessed it, chickens, right? And God's word, of course, and God's word. That should have been your automatic answer. That's where we find everything. So let's start with purpose. Why does spiritual growth, why does it have to hurt? Well, when we turn to God's word, there are so many interesting scriptures that speak on this. This one just really stood out to me this week. Hear this. God has given us new birth. Okay, we all know that. He's given us new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And this inheritance, right, that we're going to be born into is not here, but in heaven for you. You who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation. Oh, we've lost everything. More tech. Hey, by the way, it's what? Oh, I can just turn around and read, you say? That sounds great. Who through the faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed when? In the last time. So this is something. I'm going to find my place in the meantime. By the way, you would not believe it. We are having so many technical difficulties. The internet wasn't working. Things were falling apart all over the place. I sat down in that seat going, oh, Lord, why are you making things so uncomfortable for me? Uh-oh. And then I was like, I just walked into this one because this is what I'm preaching on this morning. So bear with me as I grow in front of your eyes here with the discomfort. Okay, where were we? We said that stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that. That was a good part. You guys remember that one? That was great. Mm-hmm. We have to decide. So this is how we develop discipline. Chickens. That's where we're at. Chickens. Okay, so why does it have to hurt in this last time? In all this, though, in this, you know, what we're going to be going through here, this inheritance that we're getting up in heaven that's coming at the last time, in all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while we're down here, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Well, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor. There you go. That's why we got to go through it. And Paul adds on to this. He says, our light and momentary troubles, you know, that we're feeling down here, are achieving, present tense, are achieving for us an eternal glory up there where your inheritance and your real life is. An eternal glory that far outweighs them all. All the stuff down here that hurts. Even though that stuff does stink down here. That's that horrible hardship and work that we talked about. But at least now, when we start to hear that from the Lord, who's in charge of this whole thing and designed it that way, then we've confirmed the reason for all the uncomfortable criticism and mistakes. We now know for sure they grow us. They're meant to grow us. And knowing that pain's purpose is to prepare us for life in perfection, and that inheritance and that new real life, it sure makes it feel a lot more tolerable, doesn't it? I mean, that's us. That's why we're here this morning, is I need to know that. It's the only way I can push through. God knows we're weak. So what about these chickens, okay? Here's the other thing that stood out to me. Why chickens are a part of this thing? We also now know from like that scripture and other places that this world is our incubator, shielded by God's power. And its purpose is to provide a safe place to grow through struggle, to gain the strength to survive on the other side. And that sounds like an egg to me, because that's the purpose of an egg, right? It's to keep you safe and sound while you grow big enough to survive on the other side. Because like the chicken, the egg, we start off so feeble and fragile that any attempt at, you know, life outside of an incubator means certain death. We can't. We can't take care of ourselves. We just die. It's the same way that premature hatching only produces scrambled eggs, premature perfection only produces scrambled humans. We can't have it yet until we're fully grown, which is exactly what happened back at the beginning in the garden. We tried to get into that life ahead of time. We ate the fruit, and then he said, don't let them touch the life tree, because that's the problem. We're not prepared to survive up there in real life. So in the end, think of it this way. This is how I want you to remember it. The purpose of growth in general, spiritual growth, the purpose of it, it's everything that we and chickens have ever wanted. It's simply to get to the other side. Like the chickens. I don't blame you. That's a groaner. But it is. I wanted to just stick. Hey, Bruce likes it. That's good enough for me. But it is. It's to get to the other side. I just want that to stick with you. That's what everything is for, is to grow you, to get you to that other side. For them, you know, it's just the real life outside of the egg. For us, it's the real life outside of this world. That's it. But even though the real life that is waiting on the other side of this world is alluring, it's still, we have to deal with this idea that the growing pains along the way are not alluring. They are not desirable. We don't want them. So we're working on this case to convince ourselves and to convince ourselves to push through. Even though we know that purpose now, it really helps to know the process. Because we like to know what we're signing up for. Right? We don't want to stop before we even start. It helps to know what to expect. So, how does spiritual growth happen? What's the process? It's another good news, bad news. Ready? Here's how it happens. Testing. And nobody likes to take tests, right? But testing is the process of challenging and measuring that actually pushes us to grow. It's why we put them in school, right? It challenges you and it measures you, and then that pushes you, motivates you to grow. And it's also just like the same way that we grow physically. It's like testing how much we can bench press, right? Every time you go to test it, each test simultaneously reveals our strength, how much you can lift, while increasing it. The more you test it, the higher it goes. And so here's a hint on what God's tests look like. Here's what he says. He says, no temptation, it's the same word for testing here, no temptation, no testing has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. So that's good. So you guys are all, just so you know, you're all going to get this all the time. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted or tested beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted or tested, he will also provide a way out. Oh, good. That's nice. So that you can endure it. Oh, no. Uh-oh, that's not where I thought that was going. It sounded real good for a second, right? Hey, it's too much, Lord. Let me off the hook. Oh, I got a way out for you. Nope. Oh, I'm staying here. I'm going to make a way for you to endure it. And that's crazy, because God right there, he's being honest and upfront about his test. He's letting you know what you're signing up for. And he is not saying, if you can't pass them, well, then you can just skip them. You know, you get a participation trophy and all that. He is not saying that. He's just saying he'll make sure that you get through them to the bitter end, no matter what. He makes sure that he'll be there with you. He'll walk you. He'll kick it and screaming. Whatever it takes, he'll get you through them. Because he wants you to grow up. Because he wants you to come home. He needs you to come home. He loves us too much to leave us here. And so he knows we need that strength, which means we need that growth, which means we need those tests. We need that hardship. Because all growth comes from enduring, not avoiding. We can't ignore our way out of this one. And the more difficult something is to endure, the more growth it produces. So it's true, you know, if what doesn't kill us makes us stronger, guess what a loving God gives us? What almost kills us. Isn't that nice? What a wonderful sentiment. He gives us just to the brink of death. That's what he's willing to give us. And it is actually, that is the most loving thing if you think about it. We think, why, Lord, why must you make it so difficult, so uncomfortable sometimes? Because it's the most loving thing he could possibly do. Because pushing us to our limit is the best way to build our strength to survive in his presence on that other side. And that's where he wants to get us there. He wants us there more than we want us there. And so he's pushing us and pushing us. So like an annoyingly effective personal trainer, God's hovering right over your shoulder, keeping us growing by keeping us uncomfortable. We need to learn to love that and appreciate that. That is so wonderful. And in fact, if you just, again, zoom out, God designed this whole world to become more and more uncomfortable the more that we grow. And again, this is why I like the chickens here. That's just like an egg. That's just what happens at a certain point. It's just you're outgrowing this place, because just like a chick, our growth makes us cramped and confused, and we start to feel desperate from all of the discomfort down here. And when we start to actually see and understand what's going on, we're outgrowing what our egg has to offer this world down here. We're forced to face the uncomfortable anxiety of our ugliest option breaking out. We have to actually think, oh my goodness, I'm not meant for this place. I am eternal, this place is not. And I have to find a way out of here. But because our egg, this world, is all that we have ever known, it's hard not to entertain this insane idea of actually just staying here and suffocating. And yet you see this in the world all over the place. You see people who are just choosing death. You see people who are just putting their faith in the world that they know offers them nothing. This place will eventually suffocate you and put us down. But that is how much power fear has over us. We're so afraid of making that trip, of breaking through to something on the other side, that we'll stay here and go down with the ship. And that's because there is nothing that makes us more uncomfortable than the unknown. And there is nothing more unknown than what is on the other side of this world. So how do we break free? Because I want to know. I want to know. I want to get comfortable. But how do we break free? How do we, you know, gain that ability to do that? Well, I figure the only way that we'll ever summon the strength to pull the trigger on such a painfully scary step is confidence. Right? We all know that you need that confidence. You need that ability to just do it. We need to know exactly what this process is actually going to produce. That's where we get the confidence. And when we know that, when we know that's what's going to happen, we can build the confidence to take that scary step. So our last question, what is this producing? What's all the spiritual growth creating? What can we expect? And this is huge. I want you to really think about what this means. All of this growth is creating the children of God. That is huge. The children of God out there, outside the egg. And when we worry about that, we want to know, how can I be sure that if I go through this, it's going to work? How can we be sure? Jesus. That's how. Oh, man, what a blessing. We were given Jesus as our example because he endured the exact same steps that we're going through to assure us that the product of all of our pain is both worth it and it's real. Because we don't talk about this a lot, and we try to forget this sometimes because it just keeps this distance from God so that we don't have to really measure ourselves with him. But guess what? Jesus grew. Let that sink in. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man because he proved what growth could produce for us. That's why he did it this way. He said, this is possible. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. That's us, guys. And he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's how humble, just like us down here. Because during the days of Jesus's life down here, when he took it on the way that we do it down here on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears, just like we do. Just like we do. He went through, it wasn't easy for him either. He had to endure this place. And son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect by doing it, by actually becoming fully grown, the first human ever fully grown, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him because he did it, right? He's our source for eternal salvation because he showed us the way out, because he's our example, the only example of breaking out of this place into real life, of being born again. So now that we see that, now that that has happened, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's why he did it, was for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the first one to do it, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Because for our benefit, Jesus has been tested in every way, just as we are. So we know he knows and that his way works for someone like us. And yet he did not sin. So since we've seen how it's done, well, now let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. I know it can be done. I've seen him do it. He's given us the confidence to break out of this world that we're outgrowing so that we now, you and I, may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, which is going to be the second we step onto that other side. So, are you growing? Are you growing? That's why this is such an important question. That's what gets us there. Growing is following in Jesus' footsteps. And the symptom of spiritual growth is confidence, not comfort. Okay? So if you feel uncomfortable, that's a red flag. We need that confidence. And confidence shows up in our checkup when our confidence in the other side starts making us uncomfortable on the inside. And so if you're not there yet, uncomfortable. If you're not uncomfortable, make yourself uncomfortable. Get that growth kick-started. Seek some friends willing to speak the truth in love. Very important. They're the ones who'll let you know you're growing and push you to grow. Ask God to put your life through his test, no matter how painful it is, even if it feels like it's almost going to kill you. Ask God to put your life through his test. And then lastly, learn Jesus's story. Get to know it intimately. Learn Jesus's story of success that proved the purpose in the process of growth does actually produce something perfect that is worth the pain. Because then when you have that picture, then when it's time to break on through to the other side, you won't give in. You're going to just chicken out of here without any hesitation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we love you so much, and we thank you. Thank you for all of the hardship, and we thank you for loving us by growing us into the kids of your kingdom. Holy Spirit, we ask that you push us past our growing pains by showing us, revealing their purpose and process in our individual lives. And Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for the pain that you endured to prove and provide the confidence that we need to finally break free from this world. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.